The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, and of course on Thursdays, Unscripted with Crackman Bill Krakenberger, at Bill Krakman with K on Twitter. And of course, Wisecrack's the name of his podcast with John Orlando. Update at the Players Championship. Rory McIlroy, my goodness. He is through eight. He is six under. He has birdied six holes.
Incredible.
Parred the other two. Six under with a two-stroke lead over Nick Taylor, who's four under through seven. No shame in that. And your boy Xander amongst a group who are three back at three under, along with Ludvig Hebert.
Yep. Chasing. Rory, who typically doesn't get off to hot starts, that is, and has been
scorching.
Yeah, a little flaky so far this season. Six under through eight. A good start, Gil, as you said. Yeah. Take that every time.
Pretty good. I'm just checking. Scottie Scheffler has yet to tee off.
I don't think he started.
Yeah, he hasn't started yet. I haven't seen his name up here.
No, he's late. He's later 1:40 today. Eastern.
So Rory just tearing up. By the way, he's playing on the back nine to start. So holes 10 through 17, he's six under.
I have four first round leaders.
So wait, he just birdied the island hole then, right? The island green?
That means he birdied the island green. I believe that's where I saw him tap in from. Yep.
17?
That's because this guy's killing it. Earlier, Craig, we were talking about... We were talking about Steve Fezzik. So when we started the show, we were talking about college basketball, the three auto bids that went in yesterday. We were talking about random stuff in college hoops. And I mentioned that our buddy Steve Fezzik had Villanova yesterday. Now, he famously, of course, had Purdue on the money line last year in the 16-1 game in the big dance against Fairleigh Dickinson. We all know how that ended up, Fairleigh Dickinson with the upset. And yesterday, he had Villanova minus 4,000 against 3-29 DePaul, rated 308th at KenPom out of 362 teams in D1 college hoops. And one of the comments I made was, all right, it's fine. You're going to make this bet. I don't know why you feel the need to announce this on Twitter, but yet he does, because that's Stevie. And you know a little something about this.
Well, he texted me early in the morning and said, hey, can you bet this? He goes, you know, there's a place in town that has this minus 38.5 to 1, minus 38.50. He said, this is a really good bet. And, you know, he actually, throughout the season, I think we're 5-0, maybe 6-0, betting these type of bets. When he sends it to me, I'll bet it. And he said, you know, we're going to lose one, but we're going to win 50 before we lose one, or, you know, whatever it may be. And just like every season. Now, I didn't bet the Purdue bet, so.
I was going to say, he's got to get 50 to make up for the Purdue at this point.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So we're probably like 6-0 giving me these. Yeah.
By the way, minus 4,000 favorite Villanova, 24.5-point favorites.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, God, came down there with a three-pointer with only seconds left.
That's correct.
And, you know, really, I'm sure he had a lot of money on this. Probably six figures, which would have been, you know, detrimental to the bankroll. But, you know, you got to look at it long-term. It's been mathematically. I've seen some of the sharper guys online saying that they thought this bet should have been 47-1, a 48-1. So, if you're betting at minus 38-1, a 39-1,
Elihu Voistel,
I guess there's some value.
Elihu Voistel came and said it wasn't enough of an edge for him to make a bet on.
Right.
Elihu's about as smart as anybody.
Yes.
Okay, but here's my question. So when we have these conversations, there's nothing wrong with what you've said, right? Mathematically, it makes sense.
Yes.
But again, thinking about the average person who listens to content like that, right?
Yep.
So the average person is... Again, we're really close to the sun on this kind of stuff, as I like to say. We live in our little bubble of sports betting where that kind of thing makes sense. But to the average person who's listening, they're like, even though they can process that what you're saying is correct, literally, the notion that they would, you know, the notion that anyone would, I shouldn't say anyone, but that anything more than the smallest percentage of people would actually bet in that same way. Like, that's a fallacy, right? There's very few people who are actually going to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't send it out. Like, I wouldn't do what Fez did, probably. I'm not going to send it out to everybody because I know people aren't going to bet that much of their bankroll. Why open myself up for something or open them up for something?
Yeah.
And you could see now the back and forth. Even though he won, he's taking a lot of flack, you know. But meanwhile, Fez and I have only made six figures a year for the last decade together. So I don't know. You know, like, I'm not. You know, I'm kind of sticking up for him as my buddy, which he wasn't my buddy in the beginning.
Me and Fez made the same thing.
No. He wasn't my buddy in the beginning. He knows that.
It's just that when I was watching this yesterday, I was saying earlier, Kelly felt the same, I think. When I was watching this yesterday, I was like, oh, God. It's like, oh, Stevie, this is just going to be ugly if you lose. And when he wins, I wasn't even like rejoicing for him. I was just like, oh, God, thank God for him. Just because of why do you think, and I guess I would ask Steve directly, but the need to sort of proclaim this on Twitter. And then, by the way, he sort of tongue-in-cheek, I don't know when they won. Did you see he was out there? He's like, this is going to be a great march.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a great march, right? Right, right.
In all caps, I was laughing. Yeah. But it did make for, what it did was, and I know you saw this, it made for, like, everybody in the gambling Twitter world were so hyper-focused on his one bet.
They want him to lose so
they
bad.
They want him to lose so bad.
Let's face it.
So,
you know.
That's what I was saying before, though. It's like it feels like that's what everybody's rooting for.
Of course,
but, you know,
they
like
are.
On our side, I'm like, I turned on the game. I'm like, oh, come on, Steve. We got to get this home. Like, we got to get this home. I didn't have a single dollar on it.
No, but we talk about that all the time. I know you and me, I know you ran a clip with Matt when I was on vacation, which is also like, it is something so unique to sports betting where no matter how many people are on board with you winning, there's always going to be two or three people out there that want the worst for you. And it just shows you what's rattling around.
Two or three.
Yeah, I know, right. It's rattling. And it's always what's rattling around in their brain. It has nothing to do with anything else but their own weaknesses as human beings that they want the worst for someone like Stevie, right? And it's and so it's because it's not taking any money out of your pocket, but it's something in the human condition. And listen, I shouldn't say that because as we've said many times with a guy like Steve, and again in person, I've said this to him on the show. Stevie, you're such a nice guy in real life. Why do you got to be this guy on Twitter? And so he does bring some of it onto himself, right? He even admits it.
Yes.
And he says, you're right. And then he still turns, as soon as I turn the corner, he's doing it again.
He can't help himself. Kill and I went to dinner with him at Barry's, right? There was at Barry's we went a couple months ago. Or last month.
Barry's, yeah.
We went to Barry's and in person with everyone. He's just such a fountain of knowledge and friendliness. And
me and him go to Caesars and work out in the gym together. We have a great time. But he for whatever reason, and he knows this about himself, he becomes a different person on Twitter. And so he does bring that, you know, if he were to have lost that, part of it is his own doing, and he knows it's his own doing that he's bringing that ridicule onto himself.
Meanwhile, he's one of the sharpest guys.
Yes,
and one of the winningest gamblers.
He's the best
contest players that's ever been in Las Vegas.
Not only that, he's the best radio you could ever have.
He's gotten so much better.
Oh, he's so good.
I said, whenever you're on, you've gotten so much better. He's so good on radio.
He's great. Patrick has him. Patrick and Dustin have him on Sharp Money all the time. They've had a relationship for years. It's spectacular. Whenever he comes on this show, he is must listen. Radio, because he knows his stuff. Absolutely. I just don't understand this one quirk.
Oh, it's fascinating. And like you said, whenever you, I mean, I've witnessed it multiple times. He's done it on the air with us, but when you questioned him about the
openly
about using Twitter
not talking behind his back. I said it to him on air.
And he'll admit, he's like, yeah, I probably shouldn't. You're right. I probably shouldn't do that.
Okay. Steve just sent me that text. We're still doing this, he says.
He says, we're going to. Can I read this?
Sure. Yeah.
He said, we're going to play any number ones that are minus 23 or higher, laying minus 4,000 ish next week. He's going back to the well.
Let's go.
Just in.
Oh,
I love
Brian.
Steve.
It's great.
Love it.
Oh, man.
And, I have to admit it. The guy puts his money. You know, there's so many people out there in sports betting media that talk BS and don't put money up and put their money where their mouth is.
100%.
You know, we do that. And he does that. Like I said, I won't put that out there because I just don't want to deal with everyone. However, at least we put it out there and put our money up.
Yeah.
We're, you know, and you know, there's so many people in this space, especially March Madness. They've become experts in March Madness betting all of a sudden, that it's nice to get real stuff. And that's why this network's here. So
Rory McIlroy has bogeyed 18.
Oh, wow.
Yep. I gave one back.
You really joned him.
I really did.
Yeah, yeah, keep talking about him. Keep doing this.
Are you guys against? Are you against?
No, no, no. He's got other players.
I mean, I've
besides
got bets,
Rory.
And it's not, none of them are on Rory. So right. Yeah, Gil, keep doing that.
Rory 5-under, 1-stroke lead over Schauffele and Taylor. Here comes Xander.
Wow.
Let's go, Xander. Of course, I didn't bet a first round leader bet on him.
Now, Kelly, will you have after being around this network, around these people, around this show, and just in general, will you have more than one line set you look at before you bet? A lot of the bets will go on at Circa, I'm sure, but do you have more lines than one to look
at?
Yeah,
just shopping numbers. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Good, good.
I mean, that was something I was doing.
It's the number one thing that people that come to this town don't do. Because, like, they're coming in for March Madness, and let's say they bet $100 a game, and they're coming in with $2,500. They'll come in and say, well, I'm betting $100, maybe $200 on my real strong stuff. They come into Treasure Island, they're betting Treasure Island only. They're not just taking the steps next door to fun.
Because it gets back to what I was talking about. They're more interested in going to the pool and hanging out with girls.
Yeah.
Well, and here in Nevada, guys, we make it so convenient for everybody to bet and shop at multiple
Billy, once we get legalized sports betting, this is going to be a great place to come.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I have a buddy that came in town yesterday from Scranton, Pennsylvania. And actually, he lives outside of Scranton. And we're driving by the Durango. And I said, there's DraftKings. Oh, wow. Can you make bets right there? I was like, no. I said, but that's where they control the bets for all the states.
It's not DraftKings' fault, we should point out.
No, of course not.
No, we should point that out.
I've been getting a lot more of those questions recently, too.
They're all just our guests.
Hey, Gil, remember, you're all just our guests here. Coming back, Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter,
well, we got Bill talking a little bit about Steve Fezzik's bet as well in there.
Oh, and then,
hey, go check out today's newsletter. Get everything you need to know for college basketball betting throughout today. All the different stuff from Adam Burke, Tyler Shoemaker, Josh Applebaum. All the good stuff in the link to the picks page as well for today's action.
Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit vsin.com/newsletter to subscribe. Let me just say that one more time. To subscribe. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin, and of course, Bill Krakenberger. Billy, 4 years ago, now don't hold me to this, ladies and gentlemen, because I know it was March 12th was the exact date when this went down. But since we mark time in sports, it was 4 years ago this Thursday.
So today?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Or was it last Thursday?
No. It was March 12th, 2020.
That's right. Okay, that's right.
Which was the Thursday of conference week.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But so it was really 4 years this Thursday.
I was like, today's Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
when the sports world just in real time on a numbers game, when you, me, and Jeff Parles were sitting on Thursday, I want to go back to that week. I mentioned this earlier this week. The Sunday before that, so 4 days before that, again, I'm at the airport in San Francisco. If you're not a tennis hardo, you didn't really catch this. But Indian Wells, tennis's fifth major, which is going on right now, that Sunday night, when I'm at the airport in San Francisco coming back to Vegas, they canceled Indian Wells. And again, I always relate to the Hitchcock thing where you're standing and the whole background, you know, spins around you. That was the first note I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen here? So Monday, Tuesday, we're doing shows. And Wednesday night, Kelly, you're doing the Green Zone.
Green Zone with Matt Brown and the great Adam Candy.
And that's the night where the Jazz Thunder game was stopped. This was after Rudy Gobert had touched the mics.
I remember that.
It was stopped.
Yes.
and remember the footage.
Well, he tested positive.
He tested positive.
And that was when they were, I remember being on air. We're waiting to see, because there was a whole rest of the like NBA, NHL games that night. And they were kind of, we didn't really know what was happening with
them. Didn't they go around like touching the basketballs or something?
That was the microphone
in a press conference. Yeah.
So, is that before or after? I don't even remember. But he tested positive, and then they wouldn't let the arena. There was already people coming into the arena, right? They wouldn't let the teams out onto the court until they figured out what they were going to do. Ended up not letting them out there, and then kind of canceled all the games for the rest of the night.
I remember the footage of Mark Cuban getting the news on his phone in the other game, and that's when the world. And then we found out like Tom Hanks had tested positive.
Big game, too. That was a Jazz Thunder game.
This is Wednesday night, March 11th. We found out that Tom Hanks had tested positive. We were like, is Tom Hanks going to die? Like, we didn't get it.
I mean, American hero Tom Hanks, too. Like, if Tom Hanks is getting this, like, what's going to happen to me?
American actor Tom Hanks. And so this is when, and I'm not saying this to in any way pick on my buddy Jeff, but this is, I'm just trying to convey what our states of mind were at the time.
We didn't know.
Jeff Parles,
so much fear mongering out there.
Jeff was my producer number five at the time. And Jeff is, you know, was in his 20s. This was tough for adults, let alone kids. And Jeff, I remember I was on the phone with him that Wednesday night. And Jeff, if you're listening, I apologize for even, I'm not trying to do this in any way disparaging. I just want to give a state of the mind. He was screaming at me. He was like, I am not going back in that studio. He was having a really hard time with it. And I said to him very calmly, I'm like, Jeff, I'm not asking you to do anything you don't want to do. I'm not telling you anything. You got to do what's comfortable for you. And so we came in Thursday morning to the show. And I just went down this rabbit hole yesterday for Thursday morning on the show. And about 7 minutes into the show, I actually said on air, no, pardon me, 15 minutes into, no, yeah, about 7 minutes in the show, I said, Jeff is downplaying how he feels. We'll get through it. Like, we're actually talking about this on air. You weren't yet with us. You were coming in a little while.
Right.
But then we get to, so the show goes on. We're on same time we've always been on, 7 to 9 Pacific, 10 to noon Eastern. At 7:32, so half hour into the show, so, you know, less than 50 minutes ago, basically on this show, the tennis tour, the ATP, suspends all tournaments until at least late April. Because remember, we didn't know how long this was going to go.
Yep.
So tennis, again, was the first, they were like, we're done.
And I believe, if I remember correctly, it was NBA and NHL the night before. And then we were sitting there Thursday morning waiting to hear about all these conference tournaments.
Well, yes, the NBA, after the Rudy Gobert stuff, they suspended the 2019-20 season until further notice, 9:31 Eastern, 6:31 our time, West Coast the night before. So while we're on air, 7:32 a.m. Pacific, 10:32 a.m. Eastern, the ATP suspends all tournaments until late April. 17 minutes later, they say that Donovan Mitchell tested positive for the coronavirus. Remember, it was not called COVID as much as it was called the coronavirus then. Yeah. So we're announcing this on air. This is the first hour of the show. We get to the second hour. Now we're talking like 8:35. The ITF, tennis's lower tour, they postpone. 7 minutes later, 8:42 a.m., we're still on air. MLS suspends its season for 30 days. 3 minutes after that, 11:45 a.m. Eastern, 8:45 Pacific, the Big 10 cancels the remainder of its men's basketball tournament. 2 minutes after that, the American Athletic cancels its men's basketball tournament, set to begin that day. Same time, 8:47 a.m., 11:47 Eastern, the SEC cancels the remainder of its men's basketball tournament. We're still on air with all this. And Jeff is getting quieter and quieter, and that would end up being his last full show. He only made it through a half of the show the next day because he was just, I'm out of here. I can't, you know. So it was this. So after that show on Thursday, we're at the South Point still. People are milling about. And so right after we get off the air, the ACC cancels, the Pac-12 cancels, the Big 12 cancels, the NHL cancels. So we always think about it as a college basketball thing, but we forget that it was a cavalcade of sports, one after the other, while we were on air and just after we were on air.
Wasn't like St. John's on the court?
So after the show, we're just kind of milling about at the South Point, not really understanding like what in the world. So St. John's and DePaul all these other conferences have canceled, and the Big East kind of didn't get the memo.
Right. That's what, yeah.
And they play a first half of a basketball game. And Wishnev was reminding me of this yesterday because Todd was in his section at the South Point, the Todd Wishnev section at the South Point. And he said to me the other day, he goes, I remember what you said, because he said out loud, we're both looking at the screen, he says out loud, he goes, wow, it's like everybody's going to have to sequester themselves or something. And I said to him at the time, I go, boy, this country's not going to like that. And he remembers that line, and that's what ended up happening. So the next, then Saturday, I do my one-on-one with Alan Boston. We had a previously scheduled podcast from the South Point studio on Saturday. I do the one-on-one with Alan Boston. By the way, it's still available, where Alan famously, among all his other lines, says, they don't make cocaine like they used to. That's all I remember from that podcast. Kelly had the pleasure of editing that podcast.
Like so, a random 3-hour Gil and Alan Boston conversation to fit it into your show parameters. It took forever.
And then I got on a flight to San Francisco. This is Saturday, and I'm thinking I'm coming back. Never came back.
Wow.
4 months later, come back.
Wow. Was it 4 months later?
I think July. I came back for like a few days, went back, and then came back August for good for football.
It was unbelievable.
But just think about that moment in our lives.
The whole strip was dark. It was really unbelievable. No traffic, nowhere on the strip. You know, the casinos were all closed. I just feel that'll never happen again.
Oh, it will. We don't have the stomach for it to happen again. I mean, unless, God forbid, it was something vastly worse.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It was wild. I don't know that I missed a day of work. Because we were...
Oh, I did shows from San Francisco every day. We didn't miss work.
That's what
I just did them from there.
Well, a numbers game went off air for a little while, right? Like a few weeks?
No, I don't think so.
It wasn't even that long?
No, okay. Not at all. I did shows from, remember, really bad Wi-Fi in front of a bookcase. Remember everybody did their shows in front of bookcases for the next few months?
We had Fall Money still in studio. That's why I was producing that then during the pandemic. And it was, as Bill, you're talking about, we would walk into the closed South Point every single morning. I would walk in there at 1 a.m.
Wow.
Nobody in there. All the security, they still had to have security there, basically just to let us operate. We'd walk in. Clearly, nobody ever thought when designing Las Vegas, like, what if we need to turn off power in certain portions
never
of the
casino? Occurred to anybody.
I mean, the casino lights are all on, all the slot machines are going on and everything, because I just don't think they can turn off sections of the casino.
Anyway, I go through that all to say, let us just be grateful that the world is.
Yes.
Back to where we are, and we can enjoy all these sports today.
The earth is round again.
Yeah, the earth is back on its axis.
Jesus.
But that was 4 years ago today. I just said I have it logged. It's just
a nutty time.
Surreal. Crackman, more with Bill Krakenberger, unscripted on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, with Rory, a one-shot lead at the Players Championship. Precarious early on.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? What are you waiting for? Create a free account today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through NCAA Championship Week leading up to Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/champweek and get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. Create a free account now at VSiN.com/champweek and get full VSiN Pro access from now through March 17th. That's VSIN.com/champweek. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on this. This is from Michael Burns. I was at the South Point that day. My first bet was a halftime bet in that St. John's DePaul game.
Really?
Bet the ponies and table games, left back for St. Louis on Monday. Crazy 4 days at the South Point. Chris Heath, I remember listening to ANG thinking I didn't have to go to work that morning. I'm a high school teacher. And my 10-year-old daughter was homesick for a third day with a fever. After a couple conference games were canceled, we were all sent home. It was my livelihood at the time. That, ping pong, horses, and golf. Remember, ping pong became a huge thing. at that time. This is from 3JackH3131. Vivid memories of 2020, sitting at a bar watching the NBA coming to a halt. Took the weekend off to watch, bet college basketball, and watch the first half of the Big East game. UFC was a saving grace during that time.
Jesus.
And did Bill say the world is round? What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, yeah, that was funny. That was where Dana Young and UFC was like, nope, we're doing all these events, and UFC became the single biggest thing.
I forgot about that. Didn't the UFC did it not stop?
Not
the
really.
The UFC went right through.
I mean, they did, but they were the first. They were like the first, one of the first to come back.
They were back real quick.
Yeah.
Technically, they stopped, but they came back real quick.
Yeah.
Let me see. There's a question.
Yeah, Larry reminds me they did the first one back was in Brazil with no crowd.
Skeeman A. Smith, coming to town next week for the tournament. Where are the best places to watch? I see most places are charging to get a seat. Yeah. Well,
that's a great question. I just seen in the elevator here, there's a free watch party on the 12th floor. I was like, wow.
Free watch party?
Free watch party, 12th floor at the D.
Oh.
South Point has free rooms and that they have. So that's a very good question because why do I have this disdain for charging for everything?
Oh, buddy.
I do. I you know, everyone does it. I understand, but you're going to charge me to watch games. I'm going to pay for my food. I have to pay for parking. I'm paying resort fees. You want to charge me to watch the games? By the way, I'm betting the games. I'm giving you a percentage of the money anyway. I'm bothered by that.
Meltzer, like Seltzer, Mark Meltzer, was on the Beating the Book Vegas Lifestyle podcast that we do annually between the championship games and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so he's all over the prices of these things.
Yeah.
And if you go back, and someone actually took us up on it. They went back to like the first or second or third Vegas Lifestyle pod. And we're like, oh, yeah, you can roll to this casino and do this. It was like carefree. It cost you nothing. And then it started to charge over the years. Then it got a little more expensive. It on the strip, it is so
ridiculous.
It's just not I say this about everything in Vegas. I'm going to sound like I'm 95 years old, but when I used to go to rehab at the Hard Rock, if I put my towel on the lounge chair before everybody else, that was my seat.
Party's over, dude.
Yeah, I mean the problem is when you're talking about an event like this, it's not only the charging, but it's the you're trying to thread the needle between like, okay, what's not going to charge too much? What's not going to charge too much? And where am I actually going to be able to watch stuff comfortably without a billion people in my face all over, able
that's
to get a drink,
happen,
that sort of stuff?
All right, for free, you have to put up with that. And that's
what I'm saying. Like, you got to kind of decide where you're going
to
go.
It's just funny that I took that elevator and I was like, wow, nice to have a free watch party.
Yeah.
So the free watch parties, I just gave you two of the places here. And then also over at the South Point, they have their watch parties. And I don't know if they're going to go. I think they do this from the Sweet 16 on. They do 105 juice.
South Point does.
I think so.
Yeah, Chrissy and Jimmy and Vinny do that.
Yeah, yep. I think it's 105 juice, too. So instead of, it doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, laying 105 on straight games, because I know everyone likes to bet parlays. You know, 40% of the bettors are betting parlays. You got no chance.
Do you bet the first to 15s ever? Those were always
no,
when we were.
I know what it is, though.
Yeah.
Sure. There's probably some.
Jay Rude. Shout out to Jay Rude, because he was the first one to do that over at MGM. Yeah. Former senior vice president of racing sports over at MGM. The first to 15, again, for those who, by the way, they did first to 15. Then they adjusted it, and it wasn't as fun because they went first to 20. It doesn't manifest as much. But first to 15, which they've gone back to, is the pocket where you could really bet, like, you know, it's like you're betting the Tigers against the Yankees, a plus 200, whatever, you know, on a team to get to 15 first. And it would hit a lot. And people would, it's the funniest thing in sports books because people go nuts, like the huge cheer when it gets to 15 because they have the dog in the first to 15. But they all bet, to your point, the money line favorite. So then their allegiance shifts after that point to the other team. This ridiculous March Madness betting.
So just look around us. Normally we're here every Thursday.
Yeah.
There is action here. There's a line of people.
Oh, yeah. So many
There's
people.
Some people here. There, you could see it in the air. The people have come in a little bit early. Well, I shouldn't say a little bit early, but
this is college basketball games happening.
College basketball, all these games today.
Behind me has been here for 7 hours.
My man right there?
Yeah, pretty sure.
It's a little wide shot of the D.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen him there. You're right. So, listen, I want to talk about, we talked about Fez and about how people come on Adam under anonymity, and they say these things, and they're so mean. Of course, they would never do it in person.
Of course not.
Let me just tell you something. You think if they're coming after Fez, do you know who Troy Hermo is?
No.
big he's a big fan of sports betting, for sports in general, sports betting guy. I've listened, going back and forth and talked to him for a couple of years. He's been battling cancer, as you can see him there. But he's just a nice kid, nice guy. And just to let you know, last week, not one, but a couple different people went after him.
Oh, my God.
And it bothers me so much on their anonymity, these telephone tough guys. Well, one person actually told him, listen, you're going to be dead soon anyway.
Oh, my God.
How do you do something like that? Like, just pure karma, pure everything we've been taught in our life. I'll get choked up thinking about this because
the courage of anonymity.
Yeah. You know, I always I want to go into bad areas with this because I'm no tough guy. I have palm olive hands, I'll tell you right now. But
his hands are milky white.
Yes, milky white. But, you know, it just bothers me that these people never want, no one will say something to you, especially like this, to this kid, say something to your face. I wish I knew who said it to his face. I wish I knew who said it under anonymity, because these people literally under anonymity, if you're that dark, if things are that bad for you in life, how could you possibly even be on social media? Like, why even do that? Get yourself help. Get yourself therapy. You know, because people are really sick out there under anonymity.
Bro,
I mean, how do you say to this poor guy who's only been putting out great things to the world, salt of the earth type of guy, and say that to the guy? I'm upset. I was upset by it, and I wanted to mention it because, you know, we're all rooting for Troy, and, you know, we follow him in his battle. I like when he wakes up in the morning and he says, I woke up again, just letting you know.
It's awesome.
I love it, you know, and
get better, Troy.
Yeah, get better, Troy, my man. We're rooting for you. But anyway,
no, I mean, the courage of anonymity. What you're describing right there is just beyond the pale.
Imagine someone said that.
It's just.
How can you? Wouldn't you think things will come? I was born and raised where, not that I'm so superstitious, but things come back at you, man. Like, you can't talk like that about someone. I mean, just terrible, terrible. And, you know, it just bothers me where the world is.
But you also said something before, which is the sort of ridiculous part about it, right? Is that those same people who are lashing out, right? And again, it's all in their heads. It's their miserable lives. But if they came after you, if they came after me, they came after Kelly, whatever, if they met you in person, they wouldn't act like that.
They want a picture.
They'd want a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are they kidding?
No. And it's just, and you know, all we try to do is help people. I mean, to be honest with you, the more I think about it, like, I think we're natural teachers trying to help people with different strategies and different things in life, talking about Vegas, talking about advantage machines, giving away too much.
No.
Try to help people in general. It's amazing that some.
But you can't give them any emotional, you know, advantage over you.
You're right.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right.
Like, but ultimately, how does it affect your life? It doesn't at all. Why do you care?
Yeah, no. But
in the Troy thing's different. That's just you mean seriously.
No,
that's where you got to get your boy Elon to maybe police some stuff.
Yeah, no, you know, Twitter should be policed more anyway. You know, it's all of these social media platforms should be policed more, because you could say anything, you could lie, you could make up stuff. People have made up stuff about me,
bro.
You could just make up stuff about anybody,
of course,
under anonymity. I mean, you're going to get blocked, but still, I mean,
people do it in kangaroo courts in Nevada gaming too. Believe me, it doesn't have to be on Twitter.
No, it could be anywhere. You can just make up anything. And you know, and there's a percentage of the people out there that love to believe stuff.
Oh, they, no of matter course what, they love to believe.
They just love to believe stuff. It just shocks me.
But imagine if you're like Kim Kardashian, right? And I know you have thoughts on Kim. Imagine if you're that level of fame.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Imagine the hate. If you're Taylor Swift, or Taylor Swift, beloved by America, but of course she's got like a percentage of people, like, for whatever reason, they're jealous of whatever. Imagine being that level and that incoming. Like, it's so much incoming that you just have to shut it off because you couldn't possibly process it.
You got to shut it off.
Yeah, that's, you couldn't, true, possibly process it because people are just.
I don't respond to any of it. Well, just block
the,
and move.
It's the famous. It's, I don't even block anybody. I can care less. It's the famous.
Block and move.
It's the famous Wishnev line. The first time he was ever on a numbers game, and I go, people suck. And he goes, oh, people. Worst invention ever.
Worst invention. I love that line.
That's great. Coming back, wrap things up. Bill Krakenberger on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet just $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Update at the Players Championship, TPC Sawgrass, golf's de facto fifth major. We have co-leaders, and their names are Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele. Kelly's all over Schauffele, 5 under. Schauffele threw 11, Rory threw 10. Obviously, early going at the Players' Championship down there in Florida.
I got 6 under for both.
Oh, maybe you're updated. Okay.
Ooh.
Maybe you're updated beyond me.
Tommy. That is 4 birdies in a row.
6 under.
For Xander Schauffele. Wow.
6 under, 2-stroke lead.
Where do you guys follow? Do you follow PGAtour.com?
Oh,
or?
Great question.
Yeah, where do you guys follow?
It depends
on the tournament, first of all.
Yeah, it depends on the tournament.
Why?
What do you mean depends on the tournament?
Because if it's the Masters, the Masters site is usually quicker than everybody else.
They have their own app, too. Masters, USO, almost all the majors have their own apps.
And they're ahead of... of ESPN or PGAtour.com.
PGA Tour is pretty good, though. For any regular tournament, I'll go there before I go to ESPN or something like that.
ESPN's lags.
Yeah, well, they also have the shot tracking data. So if you want to see, you could see exactly. It's very easy to pull up. If I want to see where Xander's at on the fourth hole, I could pull up and it will be like straight line, you know, where his drive went.
That's so cool.
Where his second
you just
shot
reminded
went.
Me of the Masters app. Oh, my God. It was so cool.
It is so cool.
Now that I think about it. Oh, my God. That app was ridiculous.
Someone tweeted about it yesterday, actually, Bill. Like, they're like, really? Is this the time of year we download the app now? Because it's always like, it's one of those apps you download that you have for 4 days, right? And they're like, well, I'm not going to use this again for a year. It's like, it's just sitting there.
The Masters is like less than a month away. I still don't even know if I'm going. It's just so much money for a week. I mean, the hotels, the Motel 6 is $550 a night. I mean,
I got to do it once.
What about a Holiday Inn?
They're all more. I'm telling you. The cheapest hotel. I think I stayed at a Hampton Inn for $600 a night last year. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Wait a minute. You stayed at a Hampton Inn for $600?
That's what it is. Every single one.
I always wonder about. Wait. You just brought up a great point, Bill. I always wonder about this. Okay. You'll know what I'm talking about. You know on Dean Martin where they've got all those like hotels that are like those?
Oh, yes. You're right.
Yes.
Like, what do they charge?
The stadium.
Because they're right by the stadium. Like, you're a 5-minute Uber drive from every place on the strip.
Yeah, I've often wondered that.
You're
like, it's got to be jacked up prices, I would think. If you're coming out here to visit,
if you don't feel like staying on the strip for a different experience, stay on Dean Martin. Xander did. He parred the island green at 17. And then, yes, you're right, Kelly. Birdie at 18. He started on the back nine. Birdie at 18. Then birdie at 1, 2, and 3. So 4 straight birdies Xander.
Let's go, X-Man.
What do you have? You have him to win?
Yeah, I got him. You have him win and then top 20.
Win and top 20.
Not a first round leader bet for me, though.
No FRL.
I'm kind of regretting now, of course.
Yeah, but you know, FRL juggernaut Tommy Fleetwood is only 2 strokes back.
Yeah. Well, there's Nick Taylor, too. Nick Taylor, who the number one guy on tour that has seemingly won 10 times more than he actually has. I feel like he wins once a month.
I'm pretty sure that's not accurate.
Not accurate.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jordan Pagel. Think we all have those few events in our lives where we can remember exactly where we were and how we felt. Think for sports fans and those who love college basketball in particular, that feeling we had 4 years ago will be one that never, ever goes away. I agree. Charles in Connecticut. I remember your show that Thursday in March 2020. It was a really great listen as you guys humanized coming to grips with the same thing we were all coming with that morning. Thank you, Charles.
Billy,
you were with us that morning.
That was amazing.
People tweeted us often about this, Gil, but like I don't know if everybody understands how much we use this as an escape too. You know, like people will tweet us about, hey, I got a lot going on in my life. I love tuning into you guys for
100%.
A couple. We use this the same way. Like when we know we can come here and focus on sports and sports betting and to have those conversations. When that type of news started coming down, like it blows up your whole mind of how you're even thinking about what your life is anymore.
Jesse Welch, Gilly's question as to whether or not people actually follow through with the rollover parlay has incited me to try it. There you go.
Good man, Jesse.
I'm thinking Ohio State, Ohio in the MAC, and maybe Boise. I'll report back on if I can follow through. Oh, he's doing Moneyline rollover parlays with those three teams separately. Ryan Hyatt, who was our silent producer over at Primetime Action during that time. 11:30 a.m. Central on this day in 2024, we were interviewing Wes Reynolds on our radio show, previewing what we thought would be Texas Tech versus Texas in the Big 12 tournament. They pulled the teams off the floor while we were on the air. Amazing.
Wild.
Talking about our March Madness and how the prices have gone up for those coming into town for March Madness events. Jamie Riccio, hope I'm pronouncing that right. Gil, 10 years ago, we were at the Wynn hanging out at the sports book, and a Wynn employee came up to us and says, "Hey, do you guys want to go to the ballroom for free beer and food? And we got a couch to sit on and chill.
How
just
cool.
Place some bets." We were like, hell yeah.
Oh,
10
wow.
years ago at the Wynn.
Wow. That's hilarious. Yeah.
The Wynn was the first place.
How times have changed.
Remember, the Wynn was the first place here where I came for like a Sunday night football game. When did the Raiders play Washington in a Sunday night football game? Like 3 years ago, was it? And they're like, I remember the waitress was like, yeah, it's $40. I'm embarrassed to ask.
Pain.
You know what my favorite part is about a lot of these sports books we're talking about too is how many people will do this week where they'll walk in there and they'll be like, nobody's sitting on these couches. Why aren't they sitting on these couches? Let me
Kelly
go sit
brings
down.
Up a good point. They're always empty.
They're always empty.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, because it's $1,000.
Like, why are there 200 people standing behind at the bar? What are these couches? Are wide open.
Right.
And
right.
then sit down there and see what happens. Yeah.
Right. You know, I want to ask you something off the topic, though. So I seen this New York Post article yesterday came out. The average American spends over $2,500 a year eating out.
Oh, I'm way over.
A year?
I'm way over.
What? Who are those lucky people?
I am lucky.
$2,500?
So now I want to tell you now.
Are you kidding?
Because I know people go out to eat dinner for birthdays, anniversaries, special dates. I go out because it's a Thursday. I mean, I want to ask a question. Are we living an unusual life because
yes.
in Las Vegas?
Yes.
I mean, $2,500. I get away with a month, I'm happy.
Bro, I live in the middle of the strip. How weird is that?
This is why I'm saying it. Like,
yeah.
You live there $2,500 a year.
A month? That wouldn't be a bad month.
I'm telling you right now, I have months where I spend $5,000.
So right, exactly.
$2,500 a year eating out. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's just because of where we are.
Yeah.
It's just where
we're. Oh, no,
If I was living in Florida, I'd be spending that much at least.
Would you?
Yes.
Probably. It depends. I mean, do you have a wife and kids and you make food at home and you eat at home together as a family?
Know,
it's different.
I guess that's.
Yeah.
That's
and again, booze. You guys don't drink.
We don't.
I mean, that's, you know, yeah, that adds up. You go out, you start drinking with people. Yeah.
25. I love that Bill was amazed by this number. You're right, though.
That is a year.
For us, it's
New York Post.
What?
Yeah, and you know, I said it though.
Good for those folks.
Great for those.
Yeah,
people.
I wish I was like that.
Yeah. But I think living in like Vegas or maybe even Miami or Los Angeles, New York, I think that doesn't count. Well, then again, this is a New York Post article, so. But I wanted to ask because I shouldn't ask you. You live around this trip. You have no, right downstairs. You're going to spend money. But Kelly, yourself too, right? You go out to eat.
Yeah,
I mean, you spend money.
Yeah.
I don't like cooking home. First of all, I really don't know how to do anything. I'll be honest with you. Like
I make about four dishes pretty well, Bill.
From the old-fashioned Italian mother, my cousin Chris, God bless him, he wrote down every recipe. Like, I have problems with macaroni and cheese. I just forget it.
But it's also if you have your wife, but if you're making food, it's tough to make food for one. Right? Unless you're Matt Brown, who's like very specific about what he's going to have for the week, and he prepares it, and he's, you know, but I'm not that guy.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. I'm not that organized.
Like I said, when I seen it, I was just like, I know living in Las Vegas, there's no way, you know, the average Joe's even to spend $2,500 a year. It's got to be more. It's got to be more a year. So,
if we go to the right restaurants, you can get $2,500 pretty quick.
I've had 2-person dinners that have hit 4 digits.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And if you're a drinker,
a couple bottles of wine.
I'm thinking of starting drinking too. So, what's the Italian restaurant?
Carbone.
Yeah. You go to Carbone with a bottle of wine, just like even two of us, it's going to be $1,000.
Oh, yeah, it's up there.
Yeah. So,
When my dad was in town, I went out there with, there was probably 5 of us. That tab was that much. It was that much. There was 4 or 5 people.
Stat of the morning.
Vegas, Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
So we're complaining. I mean, we're talking about, just think about the kind of a money it takes to come to on a Vegas trip now.
Oh,
there's
insane.
No more no-frills yeah. Vegas trip. You have to pay to watch games. You're going to pay to, by the way, we do have some of the greatest restaurants in the world in this town.
Right,
too. So, but you don't have to do that. You can go to other things. But still, you know, it's $10 for a cheeseburger. I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, not trying to be negative on anything. I think it's one of the greatest towns in America to come to and spend a weekend or something. Like, especially March Madness. To see March Madness in Vegas, oh, my God.
Remember the first time you were on my podcast? Like, it was over yes. a decade ago. Yeah. It was like 2011.
Yeah.
And Bill Summerby goes, Gil, it's like they put a big funnel on top of Vegas.
Yeah.
And all the trash.
They lifted the whole entire United States and just shook. And when anything, the garbage fell to Las Vegas and also Florida.
Great moments in podcast history, including Alan Boston's quip from earlier. We've done all we could do. Good luck with all you college basketball bets. Let's get a couple more tennis winners in. Golic Jr. or say Gojo, Golic Jr. and Gojo are next. Is that what is it?
Gojo and Golic.
Gojo and Golic next.